Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
That sounds like that would spiral yourself into some madness.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It's like, oh my god, is this ever over?
I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping.
This was a sexy Joker.
Left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain.
That's from 89!
Still remains within the sound of silence.
This is stunting.
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
And I am Ben, the baby brother, and your sunshine into Gotham.
And I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week here on the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together, read Batman comics, talk about Batman movies, video games, anything nerdy that we feel like doing that week. I am going third because I made a drink for my brothers to share.
Yeah.
So yummy.
What did you make?
We
here?
Suddenly go dead on the air. It's because all three of us went into a diabetic coma.
Great.
I made Butterfinger milkshakes for you guys.
Thanks.
Because that's what happens when you have your mind reset. You just become a Butterfinger.
Aaron just blinked like three times.
It's good. It's good. I do like me a Butterfinger.
It is delicious.
Yep.
Very tasty.
So go get yourself some ice cream, some milk, and some Butterfingers and blend all that shit together.
Do you remember the Simpsons, Bart Simpson Butterfinger commercials back in the day? Do you guys remember?
Oh, wow.
Nobody better really finger in my Butterfinger, man. And it was Bart like skateboarding with all these Butterfinger things.
Was that late 90s?
I think it was late 90s. Yeah. I don't know.
I like Butterfinger because like that recipe hasn't changed since the 90s, I feel like.
Yeah, not too much, I don't think. Like, the candy bars have just gotten smaller and the cost has gone up, like, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, these are like $8 milkshakes. They'd really like it over on Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Well, what's been going on in your geeky little worlds, guys?
Stop talking about comic books or
what do you think you're doing,
you?
Nerd?
Stop spending
get those nerds! Nerd!
Nerd!
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Well, Toby got had a writing contest back earlier this year, and he said he wanted me to read it to you if I haven't shared this with you. But he actually got his poem. They had to write a hundred word like flip the villain story. And write it from like a different perspective. And his actually got one of the ones got chosen for a book. So,
that's so cool.
He just got it in a book. So it's called The Twisted Tales, U.S. Adventures. And let me see if I can find his.
Was this through school or
it
like
it was through school and he got to enter it if he wanted to.
That's awesome.
So he did and he's ended up got chosen. So it's called The Seven Pieces of My Life. How could I be the villain? I was only doing what Hogwarts taught me to do, to be the best wizard I could be. I split my soul, sacrificed my life, and what do I get in return? Hatred and violence from four-eyed, snot-nosed little brat. I was doing the right thing. My leadership would have saved the wizarding world, but here I am, dust in the wind, with all this blood and hate eating away at my heart. I did the right thing, didn't I? Maybe I shouldn't have killed his parents. Love, Tom. Marvolo Riddle. Lord Voldemort.
That's awesome. So. Good job, Toby.
So it was just fun. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's good. Very cool.
Just something fun.
I don't want to top that. I got to pet a horse. That was fun. I just got back. I just got back from Nebraska, living on a farm for 4 days, and I sang a lot of "Somebody Save Me" from Smallville, and felt very Clark Kent. And
now, when you say living on a farm, did you do all the farm work and stuff, or did you just wake up and go to sleep while you were on the farm?
I mean, I helped cook, but no, there was no actual farm work.
Did you chase chickens?
No, there were chickens. I was told not to, because they were in a pen.
You could have gone in the pen.
Well, people were showing me their scars from.
If you went in the pen, there'd be a lot of "He's a chicken."
The chicken. Boom.
He's not a man.
The rooster was very violent and would claw the people and like make them bleed on their legs.
Yeah,
and I
thought you were going after their bitches.
Didn't want that.
That's one angry cock.
Yeah, so I chose not to be assaulted. Yeah, so that was a fun little trip, and I'm happy to be back in civilization. So, yeah, Jake.
I have been enjoying the Gotham Knights Watch show with my wife, and
My God, is this all you're going to talk about now?
If only there were a podcast about that show.
I'm going to knock him over.
Let me backtrack and talk about Final Fantasy for a second. Go ahead, Chuck.
So much so that I think I've talked about it before, how Bat Baby has gotten into, or I've gotten forced upon him, the Imagine X Batman stuff. Yeah, well, eBay helped me out and saved the day, and there is a Talon action figure that goes with his Imagine X set. So he is now... yeah, we have it. It's a long time until we meet the Talon Aaron.
Court of Owls guy?
Yes, Court of Owls assassin. Who is a big antagonist of the Gotham Knights TV show. And so now he's also an antagonist of Bat Baby's bedroom Gotham City.
Cute. And Jake, where can they listen to your that podcast?
Anywhere you are listening to this one. It's called the Gotham Knights Watch. Sarah, who is... co-starred on this show with us a few times, and I do recaps for each of the episodes. It's actually a great, I mean, you're not going to listen to this at the time, but this week is a gap week, so it's a great time to catch up if you haven't started watching.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah. But, so that was fun. Got him a couple other, his birthday's coming up, so he's got a couple more Batman characters to unwrap on his birthday, so. Filling out the rogues gallery. I know. It's so bad, but I don't care.
Oh, my God. He's almost four now.
Yeah, four. Jeez.
What are you going to do when he decides to rebel and hate all things comic and Batman related?
I've been through it once before. It's okay. They come around, Aaron. They come around. On a long enough timeline, all of my children will be nerds. Yep. It's okay.
Well, Connor's definitely joined the nerd group. He's been into the Turtles hardcore, so he's been picked up a few new trades here and there that he's been reading, and anything to get them reading, so I'm good with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you guys want to talk about the... Ooh, that was... Should not look away from the mic. Sorry. Do you guys want to talk about the book we read this week?
Yeah.
Not really, but if we got to, let's do it.
Wow, Aaron's what negative an intro, about Aaron. A book.
Oh, I bet wow. It has a female lead.
That was what I was going to say. I bet she's disabled, too.
Oh, no.
That's fine.
I think we're all awake now. The sugar has reached our veins.
That milkshake is so rich. There's like two candy bars at each of ours, by the way.
So what do we
read? I hope you're not counting calories.
Oh, God. What do we read, Jake?
So we read Batgirl Volume 1. It's the first trade paperback in our standalone series. It collects issues 1 through 6 of the 2000 run of Batgirl. In this story, she is... surviving in Gotham after No Man's Land, trying to figure out maybe a little bit of her past. Well, Batman and Oracle are trying to figure out a little bit of her past. And she's out doing her Batgirl thing throughout Gotham City. We learn about her fighting techniques and how she visualizes and perceives the world and what might happen to her if that were to change. So. Hmm.
I want to start with something I really enjoyed. I really liked the art. We've met this artist a little bit in the pod, and I got excited knowing that this book was coming. I haven't read this whole series, but I have a couple random issues of hers down the line because there were covers I liked or characters guest starred. And I think that it's very... I don't know. I like the vibe of the art. It's kind of cartoony, but yet still like violent. And in this, they have to tell a lot with the pictures because she doesn't talk.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is done by Kelly Puckett and Damian Scott. He's the artist. And they were the two creators of this character back in Batman 567. And I did not realize I don't think that we've actually officially been given her name yet. They're just calling her Batgirl.
Until this issue?
I don't think they said
her name in this issue either.
They mentioned Kane and other stuff back in the No Man's Land stuff. I'm pretty sure we got her name back then.
I thought so.
I know we've gotten her last name because they know who her father is.
Oh.
But have they said what her first name is yet?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know what her name is, so it's hard for me to actually be like, did I read this? Because we know I don't take notes.
When you said you have some of the other issues of this series, this was a pretty long-lasting series. It starts here, and it lasted for 73 issues. That's pretty good during the early 2000s.
Yeah.
73 issues of this?
Yeah.
Yep. Nowadays, that would be insane, because things don't get past, 10 at this point.
Really?
Unless it's, the main five heroes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's not Batman, Superman, or Batman, it's not getting past, 10.
So you mentioned the art. I don't think Oracle was drawn very well in here. I don't think her depiction was as good, but I don't know if you caught that or not.
No, I think I agree with you. I agree with you both, because, Ben, I really liked the action sequences here. I thought, although it is a little cartoony and it has a lot of kind of unnatural angles to some of the characters, it was really clear when they were battling what was happening and who was doing what in the fight scenes. And so those read really well. But some of the character designs, it is such a heavy style that I don't know that all the characters look the same. Even Batman, some of his surprised looks near the end of the story, I'm like, you just look like a doofus. He's like, whoo!
Yeah, some of them. That
big cartoony eyes and stuff.
Well, I liked how small she was. She definitely felt like her own thing here. She wasn't drawn like Huntress when it started, when she was originally Huntress, and then they brought in this character. They kind of kept that body. Now she's very small and very felt more feminine. So I
kind of her. Robin-ish size.
Yeah, she's younger and definitely felt younger.
Yeah, I get that feeling more than I did in No Man's Land. In No Man's Land, I feel like they tried to make her more of, or that persona, either Huntress or her, more as a larger than life, I think, to instill that fear that Batman does.
Yeah, and when Huntress, who is...
Either that or the HGH Warhol.
She's in her later 20s, early 30s. I mean, she's a much more developed woman. And this, we learned here that she's only, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Running around. So she is quite young and more is a contemporary of Robin than Huntress and Nightwing.
Yeah, and liking the art, honestly, might be a nostalgia thing for me. Because like you last episode, Jake, not liking Ed McGuinness, I wasn't a big fan of this art style when I first saw it, when it first came out, but now I like it, so I think it just kind of grew on me over the years. But
yeah,
something I didn't like about this book was Batman.
Oh, really?
You mean the part where Batman is seeing a video of her as a kid, as an assassin, and he's shocked because the person that he hired to do his bidding is an assassin that he knew was an assassin, trained by people that he knew were assassins that trained assassins, and yet he's surprised she's an actual assassin?
Yeah, that's part of it. And everything else he does in here. Some writers do Batman very well, and I've mentioned a lot on this podcast that I like Batman when he's in small doses in other books.
Yeah.
This was not one of those examples.
He did have my favorite line in this entire book, and there was no punches thrown on this one. It was I wrote damn after I circled it. His one rule is no costume criminals. Oracle can tell you what that means.
It's bang, bang. Bang.
I was wow. Okay. Okay, Bat.
I didn't even read that line that way. I was just like, oh, she can't read his lips or whatever because he's turned away and Oracle will fill her in later. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That's much worse, Batman, you asshole.
How I read it, Jake, but Aaron, that's hilarious. And I am glad you pointed that out. That was a good line in general, however you read it. I was like, he doesn't want her near those people yet. He's still working on with her.
Yeah.
Working on her.
Yeah.
Because
You didn't. You totally didn't read it as Batman being like, eh, you don't want to end up like her.
I didn't, but it's funny. I mean, I see it. We're not all you, Aaron.
That's fine.
God, that makes him such a douche.
Totally.
And I was even reading it as him being a dick.
Oh, that's how I read it.
Oh, God.
You guys are the worst human beings.
I did like most of the Oracle interactions. There's one thing she says that I'm like, Babs, you're being rude. But I liked the mentor angle. I liked that because when we first meet this Batgirl, she's, you know, working for Barbara Gordon and doing whatever. So I like that they continued that. And I don't think I knew that about this book.
Yeah.
That it's sort of... It's got hints of like a Birds of Prey feel in that sense that Oracle's like guiding her.
Yeah, because she doesn't move into Wayne Manor in the Batcave. She hangs out and stays with Barbara. And Barbara opens this book with being like, okay, well, I got to change my computer file names and start a new one on the new Batgirl. So what does that make me? The old Batgirl?
I don't like that.
Original Batgirl. I think that's what she ends up changing
into. Yeah, I think that's what she does.
She had some good one lines. And I really like that older sister mentality. Like, Dick has had Jason and Tim to look over, and she hasn't had that character yet. And so it's fun to see how she treats it differently than the boys did.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely has come around to having her there and taking on that mantle.
She's like the best kind of roommate, right? She's quiet all the time.
Yeah.
She is quiet all the time.
She goes out at night. She
sleeps when she's home.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I liked that character dynamic, even if some of it I felt Babs was being a little judgy about the language barrier or being a little dismissive to this person's disabilities when Babs is the other character in DC that has a quote-unquote disability. So I thought that was a little... There was like one line, I didn't write it down obviously, but there's one line that I was like, ew, that didn't age well. But for the most part, I really liked their character dynamics together.
Yeah, and she's trying to encourage young Batgirl to learn to talk. Because...
it'd make it easier for her, but whatever, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. We get a little bit more backstory to the fact that Batgirl's father, oh gosh, what's his first name?
Kane is his last name.
I know. Mr. Kane. Mr. Kane either abducted, adopted, or got her somehow and raised her from infancy without teaching her vocabulary or speech. And so she actually reads people's body language. So much so that she can tell what you're going to do before you do it, right?
I have a hard time. I know there are historical cases and actual cases of kids raised with feral, you know, in feral circumstances and not having the language development. I have a hard time thinking that no one was going to talk to her while she's being trained. Like, you're going to pick up the vocabulary and things, at least some of it, if you are around people speaking.
Yeah.
If you're not... If there's an absence of it, maybe. If there's an absence of it that she's like sheltered and not around any of it, but I don't feel like that's the case.
Is there like a window of age of like when it's easier to pick up language and maybe he just kept her like in a dark, quiet room until that age?
That's possible too. I'm not sure.
It's definitely abusive, groomy, creepy. Like, I don't, 100%. Don't like that side of this.
Yeah, and I don't know that the science supports that character arc, because she's, before she becomes Batgirl, she runs away from him and is on her own for 5 years, like living on the streets and hearing the noises of a city. Like, you're just gonna pick up on at least the audible side of language, right?
And even if she couldn't talk, we learn about halfway through this trade that she doesn't understand anything. And so then she's like, oh, this is a pencil. This is a window. I'm just like, I agree with you guys that she would have picked up some stuff like that. Or at least have her own thought for what that item was. We need to get to that. So some meta human touches her, and now she can like think just because the writer wanted to be able to write thought bubble, not thought bubbles, but like thought brackets. That pissed me the fuck off.
This guy, there's no real backstory to him. It's like, I just know how to do this and I can't change you back. So
yeah, he was created just so this comic could go on without having to use her not talking. They let her talk without talking. And
who are the writers on this? They must have like been really mad and pissed off and like tied up the creators in like a room. Like, you're gonna make her talk. You're gonna make her talk.
Well, the writers are the ones that created her. So they're like, oh shit, we put ourselves in a corner.
But I like those early issues. I like the issues where she doesn't, because it really makes you have to pay attention to the art, and it makes her like. They like fixed her quote unquote disability, and I wish that they would have been more creative with being able to have her communicate in other ways. And maybe Barbara could teach her sign, and then we could have some sign in here. Like, I just thought that would have been cooler than a metahuman solution in issue 3 or 4.
Yeah, I don't like that they think they have to fix people in comics and stuff. Like, it's okay to have people that are different, and it's okay to have somebody that doesn't talk. Just own it and stick with it, as opposed to try and change it up.
Mm-hmm. I will say, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, the moment that she realizes she can hear her thoughts in words now was jarring, and it was jarring to us to read, and it was jarring to her, and I thought that meld well at those first early pages of it, and then it got a little silly afterwards.
Well, I think the other... So they did it for the reason that we've said, but I think they also did it because they made her too good at crime fighting, so they wanted to, like, nerf her a little, and so they're like, we're gonna make you easier to write, but also make it so you actually have to, like, relearn some skills and not be the best assassin, the best, like, ninja person ever, because when she can start thinking in, like, American words, which... stupid. When she can start thinking with our words, then she can no longer fight. Which I was like, I kind of like that, because you're distracted. But is that just
Is that similar to any like Superman when like all or any character where they become attuned to their power and they can't filter it out? I feel like that's not necessarily a new thing, but I didn't really like it. But do you know what I mean? Can you think of another example of a character where they like...
Oh, yeah. Like anytime a character's powers get upgraded unexpectedly or something, they, you know, they're all thumbs or feet or something, you know, tripping over themselves. So I like that giving her access to the rest of the world shut her abilities off.
I mean, I don't think it would shut off as much as it did.
I think I like it.
Does she now have to be like trained again? Like I did not feel like this was a satisfying like 6-issue. Like the end of it, I was kind of like, what's happening here? Like I wanted it to be more of a clean package. I know it's just the first 6 issues of an ongoing series, but typically there's like arcs, and I don't know. I definitely enjoyed the first few of these a lot more, because I feel like they were a lot different than things we've been reading, and now it just feels like a superhero book where she's not talking, but we still hear her thoughts. I don't want to hear her thoughts.
Right.
Well, I haven't read this in a long time, and I was actually really surprised on the reread that there wasn't a large cast of supporting characters established. Usually, like we did in like the Robins, you get all of his schoolmates, or when Nightwing moves to Bloodhaven, you get the bartender and his landlord, and he's got this new villain he has to deal with.
Even Azrael's got some nuns and shit.
We seemingly didn't, other than her father, didn't really have a consistent antagonist in this. It was just kind of a bunch of little smaller vignettes put together.
Is metahuman person who quote unquote cured her, is he stick around?
Is that Jeffers? Is that who that guy is?
Sure.
I put Magic Man because that's what she called him. I don't know if he sticks around. We'll have to find out. But I think that we were talking before we recorded how quickly it read. You left some chunky parts in the bottom.
I need to go get a spoon, but I'll wait till the next episode.
It read really quick, but I think part of that was what you were saying was it felt like it felt like the beginning of something, but we didn't really get anywhere with where the story was headed.
So there is a part in here where she's, before she loses, I think it's before the metahuman touches her, she goes after to save...
Robinson.
Yeah. And she saves him, this Jack Robinson, which I'm like, that's really close to Jackie Robinson. What are we doing here? So is this Jack Robinson. He's kidnapped. I'm not sure. Who was he? What do we...
He was just a good Samaritan. He stopped a mugging or some kind of violent crime in an alley, and then the people that he stopped came after him later.
Yeah, so they were not happy with him. So she saves him, but he's like already on the edge of death from being beat, and he dies after he gets out, and Batman's like, "You failed."
Oh,
and he talks to Babs, and he's like... Oracle tells him, like, you're not welcome anymore if you tell her that she failed.
Yeah, that was my favorite Oracle part of this story.
I did like that part with her.
Yeah, she, although can't go toe-to-toe with Batman, she looks him dead in the eye and warns him, and very protectively, to not blame this girl for that. She isn't one of your soldiers and all that kind of stuff.
Well, she doesn't have a medical degree. She's like a thug, just like you are, Batman. You're not going to save anyone. You're beat the shit out of them. Like, it's like, be realistic. She got him out. That's saving him.
Yeah, Batman has, as we've discussed, different standards for different people. May or may not be
like
based
everyone
on
else and myself.
May or may not be based on their gender. But he gives Azrael a hard time for this sort of thing as well. And so it felt very that. And just going to what I was saying about not liking him in this, I'm like, this is just Jackass Batman. And I really wish that DC would keep the growth that he's had. I feel like he right now is really good with like Tim and has made some developments with Dick. But Huntress, Jean-Paul, Batgirl, and I guess even Oracle in a way, he's still like, being however with. So curious to see how this all meshes up.
I mean, you know, pick up any Batman book now and it's still the same thing. It just depends on which month you're reading is how socially adjusted Batman is.
Very well adjusted, I think we've found on this podcast.
So after she loses her powers or her access to her skills, I guess is a better way to say that. Mm-hmm. Batman and her need to defend this magic man from an magic open contract on all B-list assassins that are going after him. I thought there was a missed opportunity to give us some shitty assassins in here. It's all just like random, you know, run-of-the-mill mercs. It's nobody actually cool. And even to the point that, like, David Kane, that's his name. David Kane, when Batman goes to see him to ask about Cassandra and, you know, what did he do to her, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, there wasn't enough money for Wilson, so, like, you know, Deathstroke's not going to bother with this. But, like, give us somebody stupid. Like, I wanted to see somebody go after them that was, you know, B-list.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that was Wilson referenced.
Yes. Okay. He said... I wrote it down. Wasn't enough cash for Wilson, so every second-rate assassin in Gotham is there.
Nice, I missed that.
They're definitely not John Wick-style assassins.
No, and Batman's like sitting in the sewer with this guy, and he's like, hey, don't worry, Batgirl's up there, she's got this. And he's like, oh, no, I changed her, like, I broke her, she can't do what she used to be able to do. And Batman's like, oh, shit.
Batman should have backhanded him. He's like, you broke my new toy.
Right. No, he was mad. I wrote down, Batman finds out Jeffers screwed up his pet.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, she won't cross the line, even though she doesn't have access to all her skills. She still won't kill anybody. She won't break that code. Yet. And she takes, like, 4 bullets trying to stop other thugs from being killed by their own men, and that's enough for Batman to think that she still has what it takes, I guess.
Because she says the word instinct.
Instinct.
Which she can't figure out what a fucking window and a pencil is, but let's know the word instinct.
Well, she learns all the words immediately when he touches her, right?
But not how to say them. That's like the first thing she says after it.
Is instinct?
Yeah.
Apparently, I was over it. I swear I read it weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
No, she says stay.
Oh, yeah, she uses short little words.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something random for a moment.
Oh, really? There's this show?
It's about the book. So there's a cover. I think it's issue 2. Batgirl looks sad, which is creepy because of her little mask not actually showing any of her features, but it's like wrinkly around her eyes. And it says, she's holding up a little note that says, please help me not to die. And reading it, I was like, okay, this makes sense because there's a guy she's helping and he wrote a note and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like when this came out, I saw the cover of that and I took it very much as like, buy me so I don't get canceled.
It is issue 2.
That is hilarious.
DC does a lot of that shit, at least in the 90s.
Yeah.
I 1000% agree with you. And maybe it's just because we were working at the comic shop when this thing came out and probably discussed that exact thing and be like, wow, are they like trying to not get this crap book uncanceled? Like, what's going on? I don't think it's a crap book, but maybe issue 1 just did not perform.
Well, they never had a standalone Batgirl. Like when Babs was Batgirl, there was never a standalone book. Hmm. So, because Andra went from being created in No Man's Land to her own book very soon, and they were taking a big chance that normally characters that, I mean, Dick Grayson had been around for what, 60 years before he, no,
right,
40, 50 years before he got his own book. Tim went faster than that, but even Tim had some solos where they tested it out, or like miniseries where they tested it out. She really was just like, here you go. And so I took that cover as buy me.
Well, I like it better that way.
You're absolutely right. Like, this wasn't very long. It's only like 8 months since she was introduced in comics or something short like that. I didn't look up the dates. But she wasn't that big. I mean, it was nice to see her in No Man's Land. It was fun to have a new character introduced. But she wasn't the standout character of that series, right? She didn't save the day. She didn't change the plot all that much. Like, she was given the costume and she ran around with Batman and she, you know, she did her thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to hand her a solo series was very shocking. And even more shocking, Ben, like you pointed out, that this is Batgirl Volume 1. The first time this character's, whoever's under the mask, has ever been given their own title.
So they did it very quiet-like, is that what you're saying?
Not all that was said about this decision.
Yeah.
They must have gone on instinct.
All right. Anything else we want to say about this book?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Reviews?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. It's all
right. Yes.
Yes.
No! I'll start. So I know I came in kind of swinging. I did enjoy it overall. Not my Batman, and I enjoy the art. I'm excited if we get to read any more of it. I'm probably going to go and read the issues that I have of it, because I do really like the art style, and I want to get to know this character better, because she kind of pops up here and there with some other people that I like. So I'm glad I read it. If you're reading along with us, I think you should definitely touch on it, because it is a Bat family starting of a book. But it wasn't the best thing we've ever read.
Yeah, we're going to dabble in her standalone series, but most of it is going to be when she comes into the big crossovers, or she just ends up being, you know, a supporting character in stuff like Detective and other stories. So, much like we do with Robin or Nightwing, I mean, we might read an arc here or there, but we're not going to go, you know, issue to issue with this series. But I enjoyed it. Like, I the art was better than I remembered it being. It was very fun fighting. I really liked the panels of this era of comic books. I think a lot of the fight scenes tend to be a little muddied and over detailed. And I thought this artist, Damian Scott, did a really clean job, and the inking is very strong to tell you what's going on.
I did not hate it. I didn't like it, though. So I would say I don't see the super importance of it.
So are you telling us this isn't the book that you teased the last time that you bought?
Surprise, shocker. No. I don't think you need to read it. If you want to read it, like flip through and skip all of her dialogue bubbles.
They're one word. You don't really need to skip them. They read really quickly.
Well, if you want to cut down some more time.
All right. What's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, we are going to cover Huntress, Cry for Blood, the trade paperback miniseries there.
Nice.
So go find that.
By Rick Burchett.
By Rick Burchett.
Great.
Aaron, what did we learn this week?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Oh, well, gentlemen, we learn many things. That's one angry cock. Or Urkel can tell you what that means.
Bang, bang. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine, and to Gotham, and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for tuning in.
And I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the middle brother, and I have had too much milkshake. Thanks for listening.
But does it bring all the boys to the yard?
No.
Old self-pity plans to see.